the Star Tribune series, which I'm sure you saw, where they reviewed 1,000 sexual assault cases filed around the state in a recent two-year period. This was more than Minneapolis. Let me be clear about that.
Sure.
It involved 20 different law enforcement agencies, but the numbers are infuriating, where about 75%, including violent rapes by strangers, were never forwarded to prosecutors for criminal charges. As someone has devoted your life to police, law enforcement, your own work, and defending others, when you see this, when you read about pretty specific allegations of police work that leaves a lot of questions, how do you react to that?
Well, the first thing is you've got to consider the source. And I see that Jennifer Bjorhaus was another one of the reporters. And it was only about a year ago or so that she did a different hit on police work. Obviously, there's some underlying issues with her as it relates to law enforcement, but she did a 30-year analysis or 25-year analysis of officers that had been arrested in off-duty situations, which there again goes completely against Bob Bennett's blue wall of silence thing. But she did a hit on a story on the cops there. And then this one is no different. Obviously, there's a sampling taken. She delved into some cases, and it's unfortunate in sex crimes cases. The department can't go into detail on why these cases didn't go through. All I would say is there's probably a different side to these to many of these stories that...
Well, let me push back. We're talking 1,000 cases. We're not talking five. We're talking 1,000 cases,
well, and
75% of them weren't sent to prosecutors. Now, I'm not saying every single one should... But should the rate be that high? And when you're questioning the journalist, are there actual facts in here that you know are not accurate or were held back?
I think that the facts that they put in were selective. And I think for every one of the facts there's probably an opposing side. You know, sex crimes cases, for starters, they're very serious. I mean, you can't. That's the biggest violation you could have other than a homicide, in my opinion. So the investigators that are in there, and she takes a shot at Brian Carlson, who has put hundreds of sex offenders in prison for many, many years. He was one of the most experienced investigators the department's ever had, and he did a fantastic job there. So there is going to be a case that isn't made for whatever reason. You know, the bar is set real high with the county attorney's office when you need to show force or coercion. Many of the sex crime ones get convoluted because, you know, there's alcohol involved and somewhat of a relationship there. They don't want to, one, re-victimize the victim by going through this, and two...
But it seems like some of those DNA questions, don't you think some of these questions are asked where they are, victimizing them about what they're wearing and alcohol? I mean, those are pretty damning questions.
And again, that's a part that I have issue with, that is some irresponsible journalism. This is through their training and through what's needed, and these kinds of things are going to come up in trial. So these are questions that don't sound pretty but need to be asked for the completeness of the investigation. The officers are trained. They know that defense attorneys are going to say, well, you know, how were you dressed? What did you have to drink? These things are going to come up in a prosecution down the line. So our investigators are trained to ask them up front and get them out of the way.
But let me do this because, Lieutenant, I'm just short on time. Aren't there many examples, though, in this story where there just wasn't follow-up, where the work was available and people just didn't do it?
It appears that way through her story, yes. But you'd have to delve deeper and analyze it more and see what the specific case is behind each.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Chad.